टॉपिक है। Take mic, it's audible.
Yeah, I remember I was listening to one lecture of Guru Maharaj and in a very nice forum. They were also talking one of these qualities. Then one of the Matajis shared a very nice point. So I thought it was stuck in my mind.
Yes.
So she said that she was involved in serving her Guru Maharaj. So again, Guru details are not immaterial details, but the point was very nice.
What is it?
Details are immaterial. When which Guru Maharaj and how, what
no
service. But when she served, she was behind the background, and then she did not expect any adoration. So the moment that was in her mind, that whatever he, if he is satisfied, if he is pleased, I am happy with that. And the moment this thought came, so she was really satisfied. Otherwise, generally there is an expectation that, oh, I did this service, I should get that recognition. Oh, so and so devotee had done Hari Bol, we chant 3 times. So like that, some recognition should be there. And many of them had that this thing. And some of the other devotees, they shared, actually I had a negative experience. I tried to expect something, and I felt completely dissatisfied, completely broken out, that my whole service, this spirit was lost. But without expectation, they were more satisfied. And that point when she shared, it was really striking for me also. Because generally, I also had that this thing, I'm expert in doing something. But when that came, it was really striking that actually that is the way we can practice. Humility, not having expectation.
Beautiful. And we have expectation. I think last time in the 5th batch I was sharing. 5th batch Vaishnava character classes. Especially in the context of an ashram where you are dealing with only few co-brahmacharis. Okay, vastu change. Okay, no problem. So, unconsciously, you just notice a person at one corner, right? Anyways, so I was sharing, if we expect something from someone, and if we don't get it, which is often the case in this world, if we don't get what we are expecting from that person, we get disappointed, we get discouraged, we get disheartened. But if we don't expect, it's not that we will never get, we will sometimes get. If we don't have any expectations, when sometimes it comes to us through someone, you can feel grateful to whatever little favors that you are receiving. So it's up to us whether to have expectations and get frustrated, or whether to give up expectations and cultivate gratitude. If you don't expect and if still someone does it for you, you feel grateful. If you expect something from someone and if he doesn't do it, then you feel grudge and you get frustrated, you get disappointed, is it not? So it's up to us. We need to manipulate our mind. So having no expectations also can be a part of humility. And as he very nicely shared that experience of another devotee, I think you also must be having that simple experience. For example, there is little amount of prasadam, mahaprasad. Now, in our ashram, there are few devotees who serve prasadam more than they take prasadam. Madhav Gopal Prabhu, Gaurang Bihari Prabhu, they're hardcore servers. They take more pleasure in serving. The exciting item they may be served. Whatever item is there, they will serve. At the end of their serving for 20 minutes or 25 minutes, whatever, even if they don't get that particular item, zero agitation on the face. No problem for them. There are some people who may be serving, but they think, "Arre, pura serving kar diya, to mujhe kuch bachega ki nahi." Pehle, they'll make their own plate and keep aside and then start serving. That is one practical way of doing it, of course. Right, there's nothing wrong in it. But actually, a genuine Vaishnava will seek pleasure in rendering service. And in that attempt, in that endeavor, even if he misses few things, he'll feel satisfied. Because he's already paid bhar gaya. Sabko serving kar karke paid bhar gaya. He don't feel the need to actually eat those special items. Basic core menu to mil jate. There was never a case, there was hardly any case where rice is over. Rasmalai is over, that's a case generally, but rice is over, isn't it? Rice will be there, dal will be there, generally. So when you render service, and if you seek satisfaction in rendering that service, even if you are not recognized for what you have done, even if you don't get what everyone else is getting, you are happy. Especially when he was sharing about a Mataji, it struck me, traditionally, ladies do a lot of service at home, housewives I'm saying. Housewives do a lot of seva. You must have seen, whoever is coming from very traditional families, you must have seen your mothers who are housewives. So they do a lot of cooking. Lot of household activities, cleaning, washing, cooking, everything else, whatever a mother does at home. So now some guests may come and they may like the menu that was offered to them. But in a traditional setup, in a cultural home, the interaction between these guests and that lady is not much. The appreciation goes to husband. The guests will appreciate the husband and say, "Hey, you have fed us a very nice feast." Many times wife may not be even seen also, she is inside only. Out of culture she will not even come out also. And even if she comes out of there, hardly any interaction is there. The person whom she is preparing, there may be four guests, she has prepared a lot of food. And they may be pleased, but she doesn't get any feedback from them. The very fact that husband is pleased pleases her. Because when the guests give good review to the husband, and husband accepts it and husband is happy, so wife automatically gets nourished. So Vaishnava is like a subservient or a background man behind his guru. If it is a lady, behind her husband. If it is a disciple, behind his guru, like that. They don't need any special prominence for themselves. Okay. Nevertheless, when we are on the receiving end, we should not be receiving that appreciation or recognition. But when we are on the giving end, please do it. Appreciate. Arey, usko background mein rehna chahiye. Usko sikhana padega. No. His background, when you are on the side of appreciating other people, pull him out of the background and appreciate him. Otherwise, you see, generally, exalted Vaishnava is fine. They don't want any recognition. They don't want any name, fame, prestige, and appreciation, acknowledgement, etc., etc. But generally, janta ke sabse, people have that small expectation of some little recognition or appreciation, generally people. And it's not so bad or so harmful also. Because when we are appreciated, not so praised or glorified or just uthaega, aisa nahi, just some appreciation, some pat on the back, they get a sense of assurance for what they have done. So what I have done is worth. What I have done is, it worked. They are happy. So when they get that acknowledgement, they feel encouraged to continue their service. You keep on doing it and then the person, you don't get an acknowledgement, there will be discouragement only. Right? There may not be so much impetus or inspiration to continue. So considering that natural human tendency or human need, we should always be eager to appreciate others for what they have done, for the good work they have done. But while on the receiving end, sometimes even if we don't receive that appreciation, we should just adjust and then keep quiet. Makes sense? Okay. Any other experiences that you have that you want to share from the perspective of humility? Or any other things that you want to revise? Yes, Prabhu.
Suppose we do a festival once in Janmashtami, and many people do many service, and later everybody is glorified or same. Or some may not do perfectly, but he feels, अरे कोई मेरा सेवा को पहचाना नहीं, मतलब अच्छा किया बुरा किया, at least they should take name, this person, this means people have some, whether they recognize this service is done or not. So that also people want sometimes or need. It is going on or some.
Yeah, you say that acknowledgement is needed. Yeah, correct. We need to acknowledge devotees for their service, but we should not be expecting it. That's the ideal Vaishnava, this thing. Amanina manadena. Yes, Prabhu.
Actually, the 13th chapter, the Gita, and Prabhupada is explaining what is humility and what is pridelessness. So it was told both negatively and positively. So one can take pride as a devotee, but one should be humble, not being honored by others. Not be anxious for having satisfaction of being honored by others.
Correct. Any other devotee? You want to share anything? Yes, Vishesh, Godwale, bro. You're a big kathakar. Anything you want to share? Okay, fine. Another aspect of humility. Think less of oneself. Okay. At the last stage, Sukadeva Goswami came to see him. Parikshit Maharaj felt himself an unworthy descendant of great Kshatriya forefathers. Another example. When Vidura approached Maitreya, he should have asked only about the Lord. What did Vidura ask when he met Maitreya initially? I want to know about Purushavataras. I want to know how the Lord creates. I want to know about various forms in this cosmos, etc., etc. You remember that? Third canto, fifth chapter. Prabhupada makes a nice statement there. Vidura is asking certain questions which are way below his standard of devotion. He is qualified to hear esoteric topics directly, Krishna's pastimes. Why is he asking about Purushavataras and Sukhaya Karmani Karoti Loko Natai Sukham Vanya Duparamamba? The people in this world are suffering so much, desiring happiness, but they don't get happiness. What happened to them? So these are the questions that he is asking. Why he has to ask about the distress of a conditioned soul when he is in a position of relishing Krishna Leela? Prabhupada says it is out of his natural humility. Out of his natural humility, he is putting himself in the position of a common man, ordinary person, ordinary conditioned soul, and asking questions relevant for a conditioned soul. Okay. Next. Prabhupada writes about Jadabharat. Out of natural humility, Jadabharat never considered himself a great devotee. And he agreed to suffer the results of his past karma. Like an ordinary man, he thought that by carrying the palanquin, he was destroying the reactions of his past misdeeds. Everyone is familiar with Jadabharat's story. He was Bharat Maharaj. He was attached to a deer. He became a deer. And after giving up the deer body, he became a Brahmana's son. And as a Brahmana's son, although he is so exalted internally in his devotion towards Krishna, externally he was acting like a dumb and a dull man. Everybody misunderstood his position. Now, one angle, one important observation is Jadabharat, although he is so knowledgeable, it was so difficult for his father to train him even in doing Achaman. How much time you may need to do Achaman? How many times you are trained to do Achaman? Keshavanamana, Aranyana, Madhavanamha, done. Even 24 Achaman also, 24, that rule. Are you doing 24 Achaman? Or three drops only? Whatever it may be. You don't need much time to learn Achaman. But Jadabharat took 4 months or 6 months to get trained in Achaman. And at the end he didn't get trained also. Means his father tried to train him to do Achaman and the basic principles of Brahmacharya for several months, but he was not successful. Why Jadabharat was not interested in learning all this? One thing is, he's beyond all these things. Secondly, he was thinking that if I just reciprocate with my father's affection, I may again get caught up in any material entanglement, so let me not get into that. He was playing safe. After his father died, Jadabharat's father died, so his education also stopped. Because father, out of his affection for his son, he was teaching him, he was educating him. But his father's representatives, his Jadabharat's elder brothers, they did not take the trouble of training this fellow. Anyways, he will not learn anything. Father just wasted his time and money and energy in training this person. He will never get trained. So let us stop his education. Jadabharat's education was stopped. And he was engaged in what? He was engaged in guarding the fields, some physical work. He's looking a bit strong. He was being engaged in so much of menial work. You see? And people are ridiculing him and people are criticizing him. He's a dumb fellow, dull-headed man, mad person. He doesn't know anything. He has no common sense, etc., etc. So this is the point I wanted to mention. Jadabharat was not like that. People may be criticizing Jadabharat in various ways. None of those descriptions of Jadabharat are actually true. When you are not a mad person, and when someone is blaming you that you are mad, will you tolerate? Will you not try to prove yourself? You have not done that mistake and someone blamed you that you have done that mistake. Will you not clarify? Even in a positive way also you will clarify. On the other hand, some people will get offended. Arey, how dare you tell this to me? They may get into a dispute. So when our value or our glory or our position is underestimated or looked down upon, the natural tendency of a human being is to try to prove himself. He gets provoked. Jadabharat did not get provoked. Jadabharat did not try to prove himself that I am not dumb, I am not dull, I am more knowledgeable than any one of you. He never tried to prove that. He is okay. Because when we are satisfied within, with what we have, with what we are, we don't seek the satisfaction of trying to prove ourselves in front of the people in this world. We don't look forward for the satisfaction of people's acknowledgement, appreciation, appraisal, glorification, praise, recognition, etc. If we are satisfied with what we are doing, we don't need anyone's approval. A part of that is arrogance also. Another part of that is humility. I'm telling about the humility part. One person may be arrogant. He doesn't need any feedback from anyone. Arey, whatever people may think, I will do what I want. That's arrogance part. I'm telling about satisfaction in the devotional activity that you are doing, especially menial activities. Sometimes people may do menial service and they want recognition for that menial service. They may do jhadu and they want someone to click photos that they are doing jhadu. That's what chief ministers or prime ministers may do. So after photo is clicked, they give up the jhadu. Okay. Right. But Prataprudra Maharaj was not like that. That's why Mahaprabhu was impressed. So Prataprudra Maharaj has done so many services. So many people were coming. Did I share this to you earlier? So many visitors from Bengal were coming. Advaita Acharya, Sivananda Sen, so many big people were coming. Around 200 people, pilgrims will come for Yatra. And they will stay here not for 4 days, 4 months. Chaturmasya. Prataprudra Maharaj would arrange quarters, residential quarters, accommodation and prasadam for all of them during their stay in Jagannath Puri. It's not a small thing. To host 2-3 guests for 2-3 days itself is a big thing. But hosting 200 guests for 4 months and just taking care of their needs, whatever they want you provide. Of course, he's a king, definitely. So he took care of all of that. He's not obliged to do it. But out of his deep devotion to Lord Chaitanya, he has done it. So he has done that. And he would arrange Mahaprasadam. He would order Kashi Mishra and Tulasi, temple superintendent, to take care of whatever the Bengali devotees may need. He will make so many arrangements. All of these great services that Prataprudra Maharaj has done are certainly noticed by Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya never reciprocated with any of them. He did not express his recognition. He did not appreciate that, verbally at least. But when Prataprudra Maharaj took the jhadu and started brooming, jhadu, you understand? Jhadu means broom. He started brooming the floor in front of Jagannath's cart. At that time, Mahaprabhu saw and then he was impressed. Uttama Rajakare Tuchha Sevan. The best king, he is doing the most menial service. Although he can appoint 100 sweepers to do the needful, but he is personally doing it. So that impressed the heart of Lord Chaitanya so much. We may do big things. We may preach to 1,000 people. We may do this, we may do that. But what impresses the Lord is, certainly all the services are impressive to the Lord. He says, one who preaches my message is very dear to me, definitely. But the menial service attitude that one has within is impressive to the Lord. Are you inclined to do some menial activity also? Or you are just doing some attention attracting activities? So menial service attitude. Lakshmi Devi did not receive the mercy that the gopis received, because gopis were humble enough to lift cow dung, do jhadu pocha in Vrindavan roads or courtyards, and churn milk, etc., etc. These are very simple village girls. They do a lot of menial activity. Most of the activities that a housewife does at house, they are unnoticed, unrecognized. Husband will go for work, children will go to school, and what the housewife does at home, only Paramatma knows. We have seen our mothers. She does everything with utmost responsibility and meticulousness, and there is hardly anyone around her to look and acknowledge and recognize. And in very traditional setup, husband may not even notice that also. He takes it for granted. Of course, house has to be kept clean, and there's a responsibility of a housewife, right? There were some abuse cases also in that. So we are keeping that aside. I'm telling about a pleasant, traditional, cultured household life, right? Not unpleasant things. They are different. Because of abuse, they also just that will backfire. So that's a different area. I'm telling about a traditional thing. So like that. So menial service, which by default doesn't get much recognition. The cook may be glorified a lot. He's doing chok. But before he puts that choke and then starts working on fire, there are 10 people who are cutting sabji. There are 10 people who are going to market and then purchasing sabji. Lot of management there. And there are many people who are assisting in various ways. Koi ginger ka juice bana rahe, ginger paste bana rahe. And some people, somebody is doing vessel cleaning after cooking. Cooks are glorified for the nice tasty preparations. But after that, lot of cleaning has to be done. So there's a lot of meals. And all, are they not getting mercy of Krishna? They may not get recognition from people in this world, but they get recognition from Krishna, and Krishna will give them mercy imperceptibly. Whole world may not know it. That may not be put in notice board. That may not be updated on the Facebook or somewhere, but Krishna notices that. So humility, a humble person is satisfied with the opportunity to render seva, being confident that Krishna is recognizing it. Whether people in this world recognize and acknowledge me or not, it's fine. So same thing, that self-satisfaction we have seen in Bharat Maharaj's case. Then Bali Maharaj was actually following the path of his grandfather. Who is grandfather of Bali Maharaj? Because of his great humility, he thought that he was not. It is the characteristic of advanced Vaishnavas following the principles of bhakti that they think themselves ordinary human beings. Prabhupada is writing in 5th Canto purport. This is not an artificial exhibition of humility. He's glancing at us means, where are we? And he's glancing at us. So they don't take it for granted. Sometimes they may chastise Krishna, they may criticize Krishna out of their deep, intense love, but at heart they are so humble. They don't consider themselves qualified for Krishna's mercy, the gopis. And yesterday we discussed about Uddhava's humility. When he went to Kubja's house with Krishna. We also need to discuss about Uddhava's humility when he went to Vrindavan in Bhramara Gita episode. Krishna had given a letter to Uddhava. This letter is meant for the gopis of Vrindavan. So Uddhava took that confidential letter. Uddhava is the representative of Krishna. He is sitting in the midst of the gopis. And gopis saw Uddhava's chariot and thought that some chariot came from Mathura. So did Akrura come back or what? Earlier he has come here to take away our life. That is Krishna. Krishna is our life and he has taken away our life. Right? And that Akrura has returned again. Now Kamsa was killed. Akrura has returned again to take our dead bodies. Earlier he has taken our life. Did he come back to take our dead bodies to be offered as some sacrifice or whatever, oblation to his master, Kamsa? That's what they were thinking. But when they came close, it's not Akrura, it is Uddhava. He looks like Krishna. He's wearing the ornaments of Krishna. He's wearing the dress of Krishna. They all surrounded him. And out of their madness and ecstasy of separation from Krishna, they surrounded Uddhava and they took Uddhava into a secluded place, confidential place. No one was around. And only Gopis and Uddhava were there. And Radharani was also there. And she was speaking to the bumblebee. Now you see this. Uddhava, although he is given so much of attention, not just so much of attention, all the gopis were hankering to hear every single bit of word that Uddhava is going to speak. Because their hearts are completely overwhelmed with love for Krishna. And Uddhava is the only source of their solace. They can be pacified, they can be nourished by every single word that Uddhava is going to speak now. They're like chataka birds, they're waiting what Uddhava is going to speak. Uddhava gets that much attention, that much respect, that much, acknowledgement for his presence in Vrindavan from the topmost devotees, the gopis. But Uddhava never crossed his boundary line, never became familiar with the gopis. He was always staying at a respectful distance from the gopis. He was not coming forward. He's speaking very formally and respectfully. And he's worshipping the gopis. He came to solace them, but he was not solacing them as an elder person may solace a boy or a girl, a small child. He's not. Now, you pacify or give solace to someone or console someone in two ways, right? Most general way is you are in a superior position. You are in a better position. You are in a more advantageous position. And they need your support. They need your attention, your mercy, your compassion, your kindness for their solace. Does it make sense? That's how you console people. But Uddhava came to console gopis, and he was consoling the gopis also by reading Krishna's message, by assuring them. But he was respectful. Who am I to console them? Where are they and where am I? I am so lowly, I am so fallen. And these are no way beyond my, they are beyond my reach. I can't even comprehend how much love they have for Krishna. He was always maintaining that reverence and respect within his heart, and he was not getting familiar. He is respectfully consoling them. And at the end of this Brahmar Gita and reading of message to the gopis, at the end Uddhava stayed for several months. Giving his association means taking the association of the Vrajavasis while speaking to them Krishna Katha. And all the Vrajavasis felt the presence of Krishna through the descriptions of Uddhava. So then he offered respects to the gopis. Five verses. Uddhava sings a song in the 10th canto. Asam aho charanarenu jusham ahamsyam. All the series of verses, five verses are there. How gopis are superior even to goddess of fortune, even to the great demigods. And one of the prayers says that I want the same service attitude as the gopis. Rudha bhava, their deep devotion, their emotion, I also want. And immediately Uddhava thinks, who am I to aspire for such a devotion? Who am I to aspire for such a privilege, such bhava as the gopis? I think I will never get it. I am not qualified. Mera aukat ka nahi. Then immediately he desired what? I want to become a creeper or a bush or a blade of grass in Vrindavan so that I get the dust of these gopis. If I directly ask them the dust, their dust, they are so humble, they will not give their dust to Uddhava, considering Uddhava is exalted personality. You see, gopis think that Uddhava is so exalted personality. He is personally associating with Krishna. We are deprived of such association. Uddhava is more fortunate. Gopis are so humble, they think that Uddhava is exalted. And Uddhava is so humble that they have so much devotion to Krishna. I am nothing in front of them. I want their dust. And the only way to get their dust is not by asking them, but by becoming a blade of grass in Vrindavan, so that they will stamp on me, that's how I will they get their dust. See the humility at that level also. Humility is not to be exhibited in the beginning stages of bhakti, and as you advance, you can give up humility, not like that. The more one advances, the more humility he has or she has. The most